Good morning.
Good morning,
and welcome to St. John Lutheran Church on this, the fifth Sunday in Lent. Next Sunday will be the celebration of Palm Sunday, which begins Holy Week, so we look forward to that remembrance of our Lord's Passion and the upcoming celebration of His Resurrection. If you are a guest or visiting with us here this morning, we're especially glad that you are here, along with all of our members alike. Just a reminder to please fill out an attendance card you can find there in your pews. Order of service for this morning is Divine Service Setting 1, beginning on page 151 in our hymnals. And so we sing now the first hymn, 425, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. We stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. Of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Salvation belongs to the Lord. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, by your great goodness, mercifully look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday in Lent is from Isaiah chapter 43. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, and the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Philippians chapter 3. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, and having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus began to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard and let it out to tenants and went into another country for a long while. When the time came, he sent a servant to the tenants so that they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. He sent another servant, but they also beat and treated him shamefully and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent yet a third. This one also they wounded and cast out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Let us kill him, so that the inheritance may be ours." And they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those tenants and give the vineyard to others. When they heard this, they said, "Surely not." But he looked directly at them and said, "What then is this that is written? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him. The scribes and the chief priests sought to lay hands on him at that very hour, but they perceived that he had told this parable against them. But they feared the people. So they watched him and sent spies, who pretended to be sincere, that they might catch him in something he said, so as to deliver him up to the authority and jurisdiction of the governor. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We're seated now as the hymn of the day is sung. Grace to you and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week's gospel text revealed the proper work and nature of our God, that He is loving and merciful and compassionate to sinners. Today's gospel text for the Sunday before Palm Sunday lays out exactly how God will indeed demonstrate His love and His mercy for sinners. In former days, drivers would most often use road atlases or road maps to help them get where they were going. The road map would show them the twists and the turns of the road ahead, the cities you would pass through along the way, and what other points of interest you may encounter. The Lord Jesus lays out such a road map of salvation in His teaching for today. Luke chapter 20, our text for this morning, skips us past Palm Sunday and right into the heart of Holy Week. Jesus' presence there in the holy city of Jerusalem stirred up the hornet's nest. His entry was indeed celebrated by His followers, as we just sung in our hymn for the day. But those words soon turned to crucify. He was well received by His followers, but detested by His haters. Pharisees, who were able to work their way up to Jesus while He sat on that donkey entering into Jerusalem, insisted that Jesus make the crowds cease in their praises of Him as the King. Jesus responds, "If these were silent, the very stones would cry out." Well, who would stones cry out for but God alone? Jesus furthered His authoritative demonstration by cleansing the temple. You can imagine the screams and the panic of the numerous pilgrims as coins flew all over the place, scattering along the ground, tables upturned, and animals rushing out of the holy place due to Jesus driving them out with a cord of whips, a whip of cords. The chiefs among the priests of the people and their scribes, they demanded an accounting to know why Jesus did this. "What is the source of your authority?" they ask. Jesus responds in kind with a question, turning the tables upon them. They dare not answer His question about the baptism of John, by whose authority John was baptizing. So their question to Jesus remained unanswered, directly at least. Tensions were high. The leadership in Jerusalem feared a tipping point into chaos and destruction among the people. So they sent spies, hired people out to listen in on the conversations that Jesus had with His followers, with the crowds, even though Jesus was speaking out in public and in the open. Pilate and Rome itself did not want any type of Jewish uprising. The Jewish Sanhedrin, the council, the leaders of the people wanted Jesus eliminated. Amid such intense friction, Jesus spoke His parable, found in our gospel text for today. Now, the intro to this very parable would connect the hearers of Jesus' word with a parable used by the prophet Isaiah. That popular story was about Israel as the beloved vineyard of God, whom God had rescued and cultivated and prepared to be a proper people for Himself. They should be faithful unto Him. The vineyard workers in Jesus' parable are the religious leaders of Jesus' day who have been entrusted with the very descendants of Abraham, the Hebrew people, the chosen ones to bring about the Lord's Messiah. And when that Messiah should arrive, the task of the chief priests and the scribes would be to hand over the people to him, to trust his leadership and his word as the Son of God who had come. And before that time, God expected his people to be preparing for that coming each and every day through repentance and through their faithfulness to his word. That was the job for the religious leaders in Jesus' day and throughout their history, to ready the people for the Christ. Instead, the leaders of the Jews had succumbed to their own power, their own position of authority in the world around them. They did not want to relinquish it, to let go of that control over the people, even though that people was never theirs to begin with. To keep the people humble, and to keep them faithful, God had sent his prophets to preach repentance. The kings and the priests of the people throughout their history were to hear the words of those prophets as the very spokesman for God that they were. They were to obey, to do as they said, as though it were God himself speaking to them. Instead, the kings and the priests surrounded themselves with those who scratched their itching ears. They were those, as the true prophets proclaimed, those who only wanted to hear smooth things, non-controversial things. They only wanted to hear of peace, even when there was no peace. The true prophets, the faithful to God, were rejected, and they were killed outside of Jerusalem. How could God allow this to happen? And why would God not put a stop to this abuse and mistreatment of his people? God, of course, is all-powerful. He surely could have destroyed those who rejected his sent messengers. Yet God is all-loving and merciful. So he preaches repentance and salvation before bringing judgment and destruction. Adam and Eve were the first to receive such mercy from God and were allowed to keep living in God's world. But sin must be dealt with. Enter Jesus. The Son of God was sent by the Father as the ultimate collection agency. God's Son took on human flesh and human nature, and he came proclaiming repentance and faithfulness just like the faithful prophets of old. He entered here into this world, his creation, to draw all sinners back unto himself, to his Father, through the very message of grace and mercy and forgiveness. Jesus gave healing to the poor, to the miserable. Jesus fed thousands of commoners. He cast out demons, restored the dead to life, all without fee or without any power grab. That was God's way. It has always been God's way. Mercy, grace, forgiveness, salvation, free, free of charge. It cannot be bought. It cannot be earned, for that would be justice and not love. So Jesus set his eyes upon those religious leaders who loved their seats of power and honor and abused their privilege for their own benefits. Jesus then called them to task and prophesied their own demise. It was a warning from Jesus, a warning out of mercy and compassion, but a prophecy at the same time. Only Jesus, as God in the flesh, could have it be both. Those religious leaders could certainly have heard that word of Jesus, that warn of Jesus, and turned from their ways, repented, and handed over the fruit of the vineyard to the vineyard owner's son. They could have recognized his authority and been his servants, but they did not. They were not willing. Their sinful power, lust for power and comfort, blinded them to the very truth of their salvation. They had turned from being faithful servants into dominant lords and masters. With no repentance, with no heeding of Jesus' word, the warning then becomes prophetic. Reject the Son, and judgment and destruction will come. Reject Jesus, and the unbeliever stands alone in the path of the Father's wrath over all sin. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. All will encounter Christ, the Son of God. Hear his word and believe, and you then fall on him as that stone, and you are broken to pieces in repentance and in faith. But refuse that word of Jesus, and he as the stone does the falling, and he will crush those underneath. The die is cast. The roadmap is set before us. We know what is about to unfold. Jesus will enter into Jerusalem and be praised, but the crowds will turn against him. He will cleanse the temple and thus provoke the religious leaders to action, to conspiracy. After celebrating the Passover with his beloved disciples one final time, Jesus will be detained by the authorities and incarcerated. Unjust trial, filled with false witnesses, will lead to Jesus' flogging and his crucifixion. The vineyard tenants will kill the owner's son, as they did the prophets who had come before them. But the son whom the religious leaders rejected will rise from the dead and be seen by all as the eternally begotten Son of God, Savior of all the world. All of this works for our salvation through the forgiveness of sins. For Jesus, that perfect Son of God and Son of Man, will atone for all our sins. His death upon the cross is for you. He takes your place before the judgment seat of the Father, and he is declared guilty for you. With Jesus, then, as the sacrifice, the scapegoat, you are set free. And that roadmap then points you ahead to what is still to come. After a life having been lived in this world, having been baptized, having heard the words of absolution, having been fed the very body and blood of Christ, you will arrive at the final destination. Christ will come again in great glory, and he will raise up all the dead, and then he will usher you into the new heavens, into the new earth. And there, he will dwell with you, and you with him forever. That future is secure because of Jesus. This roadmap is true and sure. Amen. The peace that passes all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. We stand together to confess the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with our Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. The third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And offerings are collected.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to
give
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name evermore, praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Jim, the body of Christ, give it to me. Stephen, the body of Christ, give it to me. Thomas, the body of Christ, give it to me.
Thank you.
We stand to sing the post-communion hymn. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. You may be seated. We'll send out an email as soon as I know more about arrangements for Nancy Freeman. We do pray for peace for Don and for his family during this time. Dwayne Reichert, of course, did pass away this last week as well, and his service will be this coming Friday again at Friendship Lutheran Church of Joy here in Champaign, and that'll be at, I think, 10 o'clock visitation, 11 o'clock service, right? And then next Eat Night for our school is tomorrow, 1 week from tomorrow. Scratch that. 1 week from tomorrow, and that'll be at Culver's in South Champaign, so you do need a flyer for that. They're available on the table. 1 week from tomorrow, not tomorrow, 1 week from tomorrow. See, repetition is the key, right? All right, and then Easter lilies, you can donate for the celebration of Easter and the decoration of our sanctuary. Yellow flyers that are there in your bulletin, please do fill those out and submit them sometime this week, ideally. We do have a VBS planning meeting coming up this Saturday, and that'll be at 9 o'clock. In the fellowship hall. All right, so more information on that in the bulletin. If you want to help out with Vacation Bible School or are already a volunteer, then please join us for that as we get ready for that great event coming this summer. Other announcements you can find printed in your bulletin. We do go forth in the name of our Lord to our fellowship time and our education hour.